Welcome to the Irish NFL Show and to the second part of our pre-draft preview in association with our partners, the Aer Lingus College Football Classic and Quinbet. We went from 32 to 21 last week. In just a moment, we'll be looking at the various scenarios for teams picking between 20th and 11th. That's from the Steelers to the Vikings, if it does turn out to be the Vikings, and we'll get into that very likely trade scenario shortly. And next week, then, we look at the top 10 in the lead-up to the first night of the draft on April 25th. Just a reminder that there's still tickets available for this year's Aer Lingus College Football Classic. That's Saturday the 24th of August between Georgia Tech and Florida State. We'll be talking about some pretty keenly anticipated Florida State players, including Jared Verse, when we get into these picks, as we did last week. Those tickets, though, are selling out fast, so go to collegefootballireland.com and get them where you can to see the next crop of players who are likely to be in contention to get drafted by NFL teams in 2025. April 25th, of course, is just a week away, week from tonight on Thursday, the first night of the draft in Detroit. We will be going to Cork that night, the Irish NFL Show, heading on the road. We're going to be in the Old Oak Pub on Oliver Plunkett Street from 9 o'clock for a pre-draft meetup. Tickets are available through our social channels. You can check the link for Eventbrite and get your tickets there. That's €10, including entry to the draw where you can win one of two NFL jerseys on the night. We're really looking forward to meeting people down in the Old Oak ahead of the draft and chopping up some of what we've been talking about last week, this week, and indeed the top 10 for next week. Right, let's get into the draft itself. Our partners, Quinbet, by the way, are running some interesting draft betting markets. For instance, you can bet on the first player selected in each position. So the first quarterback, for instance, the first wide receiver, or the first edge rusher off the board. There's also a market on the first position drafted for each team. So that might be interesting, for instance, if you were of the view, as many people are, that the Chargers are going to trade down and the Vikings use the second first-round pick they've selected to trade up for a quarterback. So in that instance, you'd be betting that the Vikings will take a quarterback as their first pick off the board. Quinbet will also be providing us with some enhanced prices on the Irish NFL Show in the lead-up to Thursday's draft. A reminder, as always, that that is for 18s only, and always gamble responsibly. Right, we'll get into the 20th pick in the draft, Shane, and with the Steelers. So the mock drafts are saying, you know, as we did last week, we'll run you through some of the scenarios that some of the more prominent NFL media are working through, some of the draft experts out there. So CBS have Jackson Powers-Johnson, offensive lineman from Oregon, going to the Steelers. The Athletic, that's Dane Brugler, who did their latest mock draft, has them selecting Graham Barton, the center from Duke. PFF has them taking Olu Fashanu, another interior offensive lineman, Penn State. ESPN has them taking Graham Barton, again, center from Duke. And NFL, Peter Schrager, with their latest mock draft, NFL.com, has them taking Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver from LSU, who's getting an awful lot of pop. Shane, we know that Steelers have revamped that quarterback room. We know, obviously, the defense was their old reliable last year, their old reliable selves, and pulled out many results from them, which seemed unlikely when they made their run to the playoffs. One of three teams to get to the playoffs from that division. Battle for the AFC North there, and you know, looks like everybody else has tooled up too. So what do you think the Steelers are going to do to keep up with that arms race? Because you don't want to let the Ravens get too far away. Bengals likely to have Joe Burrow back. Browns aren't going anywhere. They'll hope that Deshaun Watson recovers from that shoulder injury and goes one step further even than Joe Flacco managed last year.
Well, I think the key thing is the fact that they are obviously moving towards Russell Wilson, which brings in a very different style of play, which I think is why a lot of these analysts are probably suggesting that some form of offensive lineman comes in to that group. But I do think that's a bit of a waste for a first-round pick. I mean, I think if we look at the stats last season, or even the way the Steelers played last season, projecting the quarterback wasn't the problem. That wasn't the reason why the offense didn't get going. Kenny Pickett had plenty of time to move around. He just wasn't creative enough to do it. And he wasn't surrounded with the players who could make those key plays, those explosive decisions, get into enough space and separation. Now, part of that was down to the coaching, as has been, I guess, widely reported. But I think, like, even if you look at some of the stats from last season, the Steelers only allowed the average of just over 2 sacks a game in the top 10 of the NFL. The offensive line does not need a first rounder to come in and fix that, I don't think. If there is a hole, or they want to maybe, expand on their depth in that, they can very easily do that in the second, third, or fourth round. So I think that the Steelers are probably going to go for, and what I think is the smartest thing for them to do, is go for the best wide receiver that's still on the board. Peter Schrager has to have for Brian Thomas Jr. It could well be Romeo Odunze from Washington if he's still on the board that late into the draft for the 20th pick. But I think that finding creative players, finding the explosive talents, but also putting your trust into Russell Wilson and to a lesser extent Justin Fields and saying, we're going to give you guys weapons and people to throw to and try to, I guess, diversify what the offense can do. Protection isn't the issue. The only reason I can see a benefit in going for a tougher offensive lineman is the fact that, of course, with Russell Wilson coming into that system, you're going to need to have your quarterback running plays, and that is going to make him a bit more vulnerable to injury. So it might make sense in that regard to bolster his protection. But I think that's something that can be done further down the draft. In the first round, if I was the Steelers, what makes sense is to pick the best wide receiver available.
Interesting take there, Shane. Kieran, welcome to you again. Is that the Jeremy Shockey jersey you're rocking there?
That is a not. That is a 2002 Giants road jersey, authentic collection. Yes, it sure is. One of my favorites from the U back in the day.
It's fantastic that a second Giants fan on the show, isn't it? I mean, you've stocked up with a Bears fan. It's only fair we bring in the Giants.
The stitching is unique. The craftsmanship is just exquisite.
No, it's really popping. It's good to see you bringing your A fashion game for the draft. As Shane was saying there, and like the consensus across the mock drafts is, and the Athletic did a nice job today breaking down the positional weaknesses for each team, looking into the analytics. And for the Steelers, they'd identified the offensive line and wide receiver as the two glaring gaps. You know, as Shane said, you're not looking around at a huge amount of weapons that are necessarily going to help Russell Wilson. Like, yes, maybe the play calling was an issue early on last season, and ditching Matt Canada did seem to help the Steelers out a little bit. But you're picking at 20, so looks like unless a wide receiver like a Brian Thomas falls to you, that might not be an option. I have to say, I'd throw one out there and think if there was a good tight end available, if Brock Bowers happened to fall, you might be looking at that, but I suspect he's going to be snapped up elsewhere. Is that tallying with what you reckon, or do you think they'll go elsewhere?
No, that's exactly. I completely agree with what Shane has. I have Brian Thomas, wide receiver, LSU, going at 20 to the Steelers. I think for the Steelers, I mean, we remember last year the struggles they had in offense. They sputtered through the season. They had so many three-point wins, four-point wins. You know, they've got to revamp the offense. I mean, you know, Pickens was hit and miss. He was great for the highlight plays and the circus catches, but there was just too much inconsistency with the offense. The defense, I mean, they've lost a couple of people. You know, they lost Peterson. They lost who else did they lose? Anyway, but adding Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, you know, that's an offense that they're going to want to hit the ground running with, and I think they're going to go with Brian Thomas. He had 17 touchdowns last year with LSU. I mean, granted, it was LSU, and it was, you know, they were beating up on smaller teams like Mississippi State and stuff like that, but 17 touchdowns in a season is 17 touchdowns. He's your prototypical classic wide receiver, 6'3", 210 pounds. He's just a ball magnet. And I can see the Patriots taking him to address their glaring offense needs. Yes, like everybody else, they need O-line help, but they need a wide receiver one that can, you know, take some of the pressure away from Pickens.
Brian, I got to say, this is probably one of my favorite segments of the first round, because, you know, last week you're kind of looking for the value picks, and you're looking for who's gonna snag someone late in the first round that turns out to be a bit of a sleeper. Top 10 kind of takes care of itself, and we'll get to that next week, and there's a little bit of intrigue in terms of potential trades there. But this is kind of the money part of the draft for me. Like, I love seeing this in the first round, because you really can get an absolute gem of a guy who just falls outside the top 10 but still near the top of your own positional chart. And, you know, I was looking back at the 2020 draft, another wide receiver heavy draft, and you were looking at the wide receivers who came off the board, and you could have had Brandon Ayuk in that draft. You could have had Justin Jefferson in that draft. You could have had CeeDee Lamb in that draft, but you could have also ended up with Jerry Jeudy or Jalen Reagor. And, you know, the Eagles infamously they traded that pick to the Vikings and ended up taking Reagor when they could have had Justin Jefferson. So, like, I, what I also find fascinating, and I'm sorry, I'll let you get in here in a moment without hogging the mic. What I also find fascinating is how by this stage, a week out from the draft, people are talking themselves out of positions they had talked themselves into and going around full 180 on players. Like, I heard somebody saying last week about Brian Thomas, well, on the one hand, you know, he makes a lot of contested catches. And then I'm thinking, well, if he's making contested catches, maybe he's not getting separation. Like, I've seen some of the tape on this guy, and he looks like, just as advertised, as Kieran said there, you know, your prototypical wide receiver X.
Absolutely. We spoke last week about suppose the nature of 21 to 22 minutes, however, 9 to where other things that fall in your favour in terms of a player that you have on your board, and all the players will continue to jump off the GM's board. But this really is kind of, as you said, the money part. This is ultimately where these guys are fluctuating between 10 and between 11 and 20. That could potentially be top 10. And I think everything this could be a full house. I genuinely thought this would be my opening piece tonight, where everyone goes, seriously, Brian, where are you going with this? But I am on the wide receiver bus as well, because Deontay Johnson was obviously moved on in free agency. And there's been so much talk over the course of the last week, now whether it's true or speculation on Brandon Ayuk potentially wanting out of San Francisco. And obviously the Steelers are one of the teams that get continuously linked with him. You wonder if they'll make that trade in advance of the Thursday night in the first round. And maybe they don't necessarily have to take a first pick on a wide receiver, because they may not even have that pick. But if they stay there, and you're mentioning some great players, but ultimately, like, who drops? Like, I know Shane mentioned Roma Dunze, but I think that's a bit of a stretch to see him fall to 20. I think if he gets past the Bears at 9, I think he'd be doing well. But certainly, bear in mind, even though they had a great podcast this week on the Bills with Matt Perino, and he spoke about the Bills potentially trying to move up ahead of the Steelers, because he recognises the Steelers as a team who are a serious player. And we're talking about Russell Wilson, but let's not forget they brought in Justin Fields. I still think that's a conversation itself come training camp, that it's an open conversation, that maybe it'd be Justin Fields ultimately taking the snaps as opposed to Russell Wilson.
All right, very interesting. 19 is, again, another team I'm looking at going, it's fascinating to see what they're going to do, Shane, is the Rams. You know, this time last year when we were talking, we were saying, geez, where are they going to go? This is going to be the ultimate test of Sean McVay's coaching career. Surprise, surprise, they make the playoff. And a big reason that they did so was that Les Snead hit on pretty much every guy that they've taken over the last 2 years. You'd Kyron Williams tearing it up at running back. Kobe Turner turns out to be a hit on the defensive side of the ball. Puka Nacua, almost inarguably the bargain of last year's draft, fourth round wide receiver, pro bowler. It's these things can go up and down, and a GM who lands home run after home run this year may strike out completely next year. And, you know, we wait and see what the Rams will do. But they don't have nearly as much work to do as you might have thought that they would do. And they're in a position now where, picking at 19, there's a couple of things potentially in play. And as we talked about, players who could go in the top 10 or could drop out here and might fall to them. One of the interesting ones, according to the mock drafts here, that really pops out to me is Leiatu Latu, the edge rusher, UCLA guy, who athletically is an absolute phenomenon. You know, could have been a top rugby player, decided to commit to football. You know, he has that, you know, almost freakish kind of Polynesian athleticism, that mix of power and grace that seems to define, you know, their rugby players and the guys that travel over to the NFL. CBS have them taking maybe Byron Murphy, defensive lineman from Texas. The Athletics have them taking Jared Verse, edge rusher from Florida State. Yeah, shout out the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. Obviously, Florida State playing there on the 24th of August. And PFF have an interesting one. They have the Bills trading up, and this is to the point that Brian just made, if possible, to take Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver from LSU, if he's still available. NFL.com, again, that was Peter Schrager's mock draft, have them taking Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle from Oklahoma. So, no real consensus there. A little bit of a lean maybe towards them taking an edge rusher if they can get Latu or Verse at this stage. Kieran, I know you're a big fan of Jared Verse, but Shane, what do you think that the Rams are going to do?
Well, I think there's one team that's going to surprise us with something that's a bit left field, but something that will ultimately work. It's going to be the Rams, and I think that's a credit to the coaching there. I think you mentioned Leiatu Latu. I'd be surprised if he slips down that far. If he's there, I think it's an obvious hit, because obviously there's the Los Angeles Lynx. I think the Rams' biggest need right now is an edge rusher, and that's probably where they'd be looking at a hole they'd be looking to fix, if not in the draft and very early afterwards. So, you know, edge rusher to me seems like the most obvious, the most obvious hole to hold the plug. But I was very interested in hearing what the PFF view, and I was talking to Sam Monson from PFF in a podcast that we have going out in the morning, and he suggested again that the Bills would be the type of team that could be aggressive, that could move up, and the Rams are the kind of club that if they traded back and some part of their trade deal meant that they got more picks in the second and third round, you can trust those guys to use them in a positive way. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Rams trade out of the first round slot. They're one of the clubs that probably isn't as reliant on hitting here, but if they are gonna stick with it, I think an edge rusher is the player they need. Leiatu Latu, if he's there, Jared Verse, again, if he's there, those are the areas that the Rams need to really hit up.
Well, we know Kieran of old that if Les Snead thinks he can make a play with a first-round pick, he's going to get it out of his hand quicker than Luke Littler throws darts. Like, he knows what to do with that, with those picks when he sees an opportunity to deal one, if there's a player on the other end of it that he thinks he can get, or if there's a bargain elsewhere. I'm wondering, obviously, the shadow of Aaron Donald's retirement kind of is cast large and looms large over this draft. Do they go maybe D-lineman? Could CBS be right that it's a Byron Murphy or similar in that slot?
Well, a couple of things to consider here. This is the first round pick the Rams have had since 2016 when they picked Jared Goff. So this is their, I don't want to say uncharted territory, but you know, they haven't been in this position in a long time. What's the biggest loss that the Rams had last season? Aaron Donald. And I'm looking at Michael Hall Jr., who's a defensive tackle out of Ohio State, huge guy. And it's weird, he's got pretty much the exact specifications that Aaron Donald had. 6 foot 2, 282 pounds. And it's almost too good to be true that that guy would be there for the Rams. But I see them taking a defensive tackle, whether it's him or Byron Murphy. Look out for Hall Jr., though. He's a big, big bruising guy. You know, physical stature like any DT. But what stands out to me is this, the physique, and the specification is almost identical to Aaron Donald. One other thing to bear in mind is Stafford is 36. And yes, he's got all the weapons, but is that going to be in the back of their mind too at 19? Are they going to be tempted a little bit to play around a little bit? Because there's probably only one, maybe 2 years left at Stafford. They got to start thinking of quarterback too, coming in there. I mean, they've got
is that a trade back and pick up someone in the second round opportunity, or trade back, pick someone up later up in the first? You could probably still get a Bo Nix, you imagine.
Yeah, I don't see them going backward because they haven't been in the first. I don't see them going out of the first round because they haven't been in the first round in so long. I think they want to max out their first round pick. But you just bear in mind, the back of your mind, that Stafford is getting up there and he's got all those weapons. We know what that Rams offense can be like when they're clicking. Higbee, Puka, Tutu Atwell, Cooper. Maybe, you know, there might be a little bit of play in for Penix Jr. Maybe they start thinking ahead of time, but I think they play it safe and address their one, you know, glaring need, which is replacing Aaron Donald in the front four.
Brian, how do you see it? You know, there's another argument here, and I see the NFL.com one probably ticks this box. It might be where Peter Schrager's head is at, that Stafford is getting up there, as Kieran says. Maybe it's time to start grooming that replacement while he still has time to sit and learn at the feet of the master. On the other hand, you want to squeeze every drop you can out of Matthew Stafford's talents. Maybe one of the things you want to do is shore up that O-line, and maybe Tyler Guyton is your guy.
Well, that's actually absolutely where I was going. I actually would lean towards offensive line. I think they've recognized, having brought Matthew Stafford back last year after the injury, how fruitful the season was. You know, he's still got life left in him another couple of years, and bear in mind, they've got 11 picks this year. Just like Kieran has alluded to it, like, this is the first year in which Sean McVay's ever had a first round pick as the Rams head coach. It's quite significant in terms of the 11 picks compared to years where they've only had a handful of picks, 3-4, and they've hit on quite a lot of them. But maybe they don't necessarily have to go defense because of the nature of this year's draft and the fact there's so many picks to play around with. Is there a scenario that they could trade up in the second round and get another defensive player? I think offensive line probably is something that they can consider. Put another player in there, give Matthew Stafford another kind of security blanket, and let him swing again and swing in terms of trying to be up there challenging the 49ers to come back and win the division. Great season last year, making the playoffs. They'll be expecting to be back challenging again. I think offensive line, whilst it may not be the snazzy pick, it might be the right pick in the end.
Well, you move to 18 now, where the Bengals pick here, and I might come back to you here and give you a first stab at this one. This is another one that really intrigues me, because ideally, from a Bengals perspective, all things going to plan, you get Burrow back, you get the right version and the best version of Burrow back for the whole season. You also, you know, of course, are compensating for the lack of Brian Callahan, who's moved on, and that's a big gap. And we saw what happened to the Eagles last year, you know, losing their two coordinators, but probably particularly the absence of Shane Steichen felt keenly in Philadelphia. So we've seen how this one can go. Mock drafts here suggest, and CBS have them taking Ladd McConkey, wide receiver from Georgia. The Athletic have them taking Byron Murphy, the DT from Texas. We've talked about him already. PFF have them taking Sir John Newton, the lineman from Illinois. And obviously, you know, we're talking about the shadow of Aaron Donald looming over LA. You've got to be thinking about the shadow of DJ Reader looming over Cincinnati. ESPN have them taking Talise Fuanga, the OT from Oregon. NFL.com again have them taking Byron Murphy, the DT from Texas.
Yeah, you know, the thing with the AFC North, it's stacked. Everyone had a winning record last year, and who's going to create that separation? Who's going to bring the X factor to to kind of get above the crowd. With Burrow, we want to keep him upright, right? I mean, you need strong horses right in front. I see them taking, like you said, Fuaga, the tackle from Oregon State. He's 346 pounds, big, fast guy. They need him. He can. I mean, he's primarily a right tackle. They may be able to switch him over to left, but he's primarily a right tackle. They need to open up those channels for Zach Moss, but they also got to keep Burrow upright. I mean, that's for me their main need right now. Their offense hasn't changed all that much. They're a very productive offense. I saw them live against the Jags in December. Even without Burrow, they were able to spray it around the place. I know they had Joe Mixon in there doing a lot of damage, but still, they've got a lot of weapons out there. They've added Sticky Gesicki, and you know, like I said, they've added Zach Moss. I see them addressing the thing that is kind of glaring, and even when they got to the Super Bowl, the constant knock was he doesn't have a line in front of him. Give him that help. See what he can do when he's healthy with a good line in front of him. So I got him. I got Fuaga from Oregon State.
Yeah, they're going to be a fascinating team to watch in terms of the celebrations next year. They got one of the best gritties of the league and the worst gritty in the league, both on the same team. So let's see how that one works out for them. Shane, could you see them maybe going with the lad McConkey? The window's still open here and looks like they're going to hold on to that trifecta of elite receivers in Higgins, Chase and Boyd. But, you know, they might be thinking of the future as well. They're not going to have them all together next year.
I think it's possible if they wanted to really, I guess, show their ambition to still be an offensively, I guess, exciting team. But I think it would be a ridiculous decision to not try and shore up your offensive line. The big thing with the Bengals is it's all right if Joe Burrow can run around and throw three picks a game. He'll find a way to get out. But he needs that extra half a second protection. And as well as that, he needs to not be injured. I mean, all of last season was effectively ruined because he had an injury coming in and then he ended up missing half the season. Surely at that point, some kind of, I guess the trauma kind of kicks in of the Bengals being like, oh God, we really don't want to lose Joe Burrow again. Let's find a way to protect him. And I think offensive tackle is probably the best place from the start. I know they extended Devin Cochran signed on a contract extension coming into the offseason. So, you know, it's obvious that it's something that they're going to look at. But I think Talese Fuaga will be the best pick if he's still there. They really need to make sure that offensive line protects Joe Burrow. They can, again, they have a pretty good wide receiver core. If there is somebody in the fourth or fifth round that they can maybe coach up later on that they like, that's an option for them as well. But offensive line, in my view, needs to be a priority for Cincinnati.
Brian, we talk about this being a generational, and we shall see with all of this, of course, a generational class for QB talent. We talk about it being deep for wide receiver talent, and probably one of the overlooked parts of the draft is a lot of people are saying there's a lot of really good offensive linemen available. I have to say, I'm leaning strongly to the way both Shane and Kieran have outlined it there. Protect Burrow, keep Burrow upright. You won 9 games last year and finished bottom at the AFC North. It's not getting any easier next year. Ravens have Derrick Henry. The Steelers, we've talked about, have upgraded their quarterback room. The Browns ideally will have Deshaun Watson back. I say ideally, from what we've seen with Deshaun Watson, they might be better off for Jameis Winston, depending on the way things go. Your best chance of keeping that window open and getting back to where you were a couple of years ago is to make sure that Burrow stays unhurt, and maybe Talese Fuaga or similar is your best way of doing that.
Totally agree on the offensive line. I think, again, it's the most fruitful way to go. You've got to recognize he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and you want to give him every opportunity to win. And in that case, you find the offensive line. I throw another one in there. I know we spoke about him last week. I thought it was very interesting the Cardinals brought in JC late in the offensive line for a visit. And bearing in mind they're picking with their second pick at 27, that strikes me as a team that are doing their homework now, because they're going to potentially, you've got 11 picks, they could consider getting up into the teens, and ultimately maybe they need to leapfrog the likes of the Bengals. Similar last year with the Steelers, everyone kind of recognised they were going to go offensive line. Is it a scenario where it's kind of given another team within that division is going to go offensive line, and it's about getting ahead of them to get someone like JC or Layden, who, you know, in fairness, has been touted at top 15, but he could slip to that kind of number. That could be an ideal spot for the Bengals.
Right, 17 sees the Jags on the board. The mock drafts are saying, like, it's strong consensus here around Brian Thomas Jr. if he's still available. CBS have them taking Thomas. ESPN have them taking Thomas. The Athletic have Thomas going with this pick, although interestingly they think the Jags will trade with the Bills and see the Bills take that receiver. I see that potentially being a possibility. And PFF have them trading, have the Jags, that is, trading with the Broncos, who they see subjecting selecting Laiatu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA we've spoken about. NFL.com say the Jags will use this pick on Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback from Toledo, small school, who's attracting quite a bit of buzz in the last week, seeing his stock rise up the board. Kieran, which way do you see this one going? Wide receiver, you would think, is probably more of a priority for the Jags than it might have been had they done what they were expecting to happen and what a lot of people expected, which was Calvin Ridley getting locked down. That didn't occur. They ended up with Gabe Davis. They're not as strong in that position as they were, and this could be something that they would want to do.
Yeah, they're kind of in that limbo, that midway in the draft. You know, a lot of the stud wide receivers will be gone, and a lot of the, you know, the stud tackles will probably be gone too. So now they're going to be fishing around in the corner safety market, which is where I think they're going to go. The Jags had the division wrapped up last year to all intents and purposes, and had a collapse to end all collapses in the month of December. They just shot themselves in the foot, culminating in losing out in Tennessee. They have a lot of issues to address, which they did address in free agency. The line needed a lot of work. They picked up Mitch Morse from Buffalo. They re-signed Brandon Scherff, so that's the O-line taken care of. Did they replace Calvin Ridley? Possibly not, but they still picked up Gabe Davis. They picked up Armstead on the defensive end, as well as picking up Ronald Darby. I see them picking up Quinyon Mitchell. There's a huge amount I'm in the local market here, and just on local radio, there's a lot of chirp the last 4 or 5 days about this guy out of Toledo. He's a corner. You got to remember they lost Rayshon Jenkins and they lost Darius Williams to the Rams. They need that. From seeing a lot of the Jags games, their secondary was smoked very regularly last year. And I know that that's something Peterson wants to address. So I have Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo going. Consensus All-American. He was a semifinalist for the Chuck Bednarik Award. All the awards and accolades you will want. Yes, it was a small school in the MAC conference, which is probably ranked 9th or 10th out of the top 10 conferences. But still, he put the numbers up and he's got that resume enough to attract, you know, teams to the first round. Secondary is definitely going to have to be addressed by the Jaguars. So that's where I see them going with Quinyon Mitchell.
The Mid-Atlantic Conference, Shane, not always a hotbed of footballing talent, but you know, a lot of GMs and coaches love picking a guy from a small school with a big character who has that chip on his shoulder, because particularly in a position like cornerback, that's something that can go down very well. You want a guy who feels like he has the world against him and goes to war every week, and maybe that's a pick that makes sense for the Jags. How do you see it?
Yeah, especially when you're coming up against wide receivers that are getting paid hundreds of millions and all that, you kind of want somebody who is quite happy to see themselves as a little plucky underdog. In terms of wide receivers or whether the Jags will pick them, I think it is the sexy choice, but not the smart choice. If a wide receiver was still there, I know, like you said, a lot of the mock drafts have Brian Thomas Jr. going over to the Jacksonville, but I think Quinyon Mitchell is a good pick at cornerback for the Jaguars, simply because the Jaguars have shown what they can potentially do on offense. They don't need weapons. They need solidity. They need to find a way to finish things. Kieran outlined there that their collapse at the end of last season was just incredible. And a lot of that came from just bad defense. In terms of pass defense and overall defense, they are the 26th best in the league. That's not good enough for a team that has the offensive players that can potentially go as far as the Super Bowl. It's an old adage that defense wins championships, but I think that they really need to find a way to, I guess, get more interceptions, break up passes a bit more, and just not the way, especially that they're coming into or that they are in a division where they're facing against the Texans and the Colts, who are going to be very big on aerial offense. They need to find a way to counteract that. So I think a cornerback is the smart move. And Quinyon Mitchell is the kind of guy who I think, you know, has the right kind of athleticism, has the right kind of chip on his shoulder, and somebody I think Doug Peterson and the coaching group at the Jaguars can work well with. So that, to me, is a smart pick for Jacksonville.
It's interesting to me, Brian, that the Jags are being highlighted as a team that might trade out of this pick. You know, as Kieran was saying, it is one of those kind of middling picks where you're probably not going to get a star edge rusher here. You're not going to get a stud wide receiver. You can play clever and box clever with this pick, though, especially if the Jags, they're kind of one of those funny teams because they don't necessarily have a glaring need that they absolutely need to hit in the first round here. And yet, as both the guys have outlined, they collapsed towards the back end of last season. Their defense showed up really small. You know, they weren't exactly setting the world on fire offensively, but you kind of feel they'll be fine there. Like they have a bit of a groove, and when they're on it, they're on it. What do you think that they're going to do?
I think they're real, like you touched on there, Connor, and I know Kieran's alluded to. I think they're a real candidate for a trade down. They've got eight picks. They got eight picks in the draft, and was it's not, like you could argue it's a reasonable amount of numbers. Bearing in mind that some teams there with six. Kieran has touched on. There's a lot of work needed, and was as you said, it's not clearing all. It's more about kind of plug and play players in certain positions and kind of stockpiling picks in the sense you're trying to cover various positions. I think that are real. There's a real opportunity. We're talking about 11 to 20, but this. You're in a bit of a quandary between 15 and 20. What you do? Do you just sit and wait and let your draft board do itself justice and take whatever's available in that particular position, best player off the board, or do you try to be a bit more savvy and strategic and potentially move down? And maybe the Bills are realistically that suitor, or someone like the Cardinals, as I suggest, that may come up for that offensive line to get ahead of the Bengals. I think if we're going to see anybody within that particular range move down, I think it's more likely to be the Jags, but I can't disagree with the guys. I mean, the secondary was exposed time and time again in the back end of the season, and was Trevor Lawrence was probably playing through injuries and trying to do his utmost. So in that game, kind of sums up what he played against the Titans. They were finding ways to get into the end zone towards the end of the game, but couldn't stop Titans at the other end. That was kind of very kind of evident in the second half of the season. They need to resolve the secondary. So for me, it's secondary if they stay where they are. But ultimately, I have a feeling that come draft night, we're going to see them move down.
Shane, we'll go back to you at 16, where we look at the Seahawks, which will bring us to the end of the first part of our pre-draft preview before we go 15 to 11 in the second part. I'll tell you what the mock drafts are saying about the Seahawks. CBS has them taking Jared Verse, edge rusher from Florida State. The Athletic have them taking Troy Fautanu, interior offensive lineman from Washington. PFF say the Eagles will trade up to this slot to take Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama. ESPN have the Seahawks taken Byron Murphy, defensive tackle from Texas. NFL.com, like the Athletic, have them taken Troy Fautanu, the offensive lineman from Washington. Seahawks again, and we mentioned this in the case of the Rams, where you know teams can go from boom to bust, draft to draft. Seahawks rode a really strong draft two seasons ago, had that you know transcendent season from Geno Smith under offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, who will be the OC with the Bears next season. Didn't happen for them last year and didn't go nearly so well. And one of the things I'm kind of surprising that I don't find more pop here among the mock drafts for them addressing their secondary. To me, it was the back seven that was the problem for the Seahawks last season. You know, we expect and we associate the Seahawks with strong defensive play. It's probably what ultimately cost Pete Carroll his job. We have Mike McDonald going in there. We know what he did with the Ravens. I was surprised that there wasn't more of a attention face on the possibility of them taking a Kool-Aid McKinstry or Terrion Arnold or whichever your cornerback you fancy. But only PFF have Terrion Arnold going in this slot, and they think the Seahawks are going to trade out of it.
I also think the Seahawks are going to trade out. I think this, if we're looking at possible picks that could be moved on, we have to remember that the Seahawks are still one of the few teams that are still, as we sit here now, are over the cap hit. They took a big hit on absorbing Jamal Adams' full dead cap hit as well. And you can kind of see that there's a lot of moving parts with the Seahawks. You're not quite sure what to do with Geno Smith. I think they're thinking more down the line than they are for this season. I think they're not quite happy, but somewhat resigned to the fact that, you know, the Rams are on an upward curve. They have a very difficult situation dealing with the Cardinals. And of course, the 49ers are one of the best teams in football in their division. So they might be happy just to trade out of this position. For me, they've got better draft capital to go for a full rebuild and go all in next season. That said, if they do keep that slot, it's kind of difficult to see where they go because they don't have any, I guess, outstanding needs. But there's probably a few places they could fill a gap. I don't think they'll go for an offensive lineman. I think their O-line was one of the top 10 in the league last year. I don't think that's the route they're going to go. So I think that Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas, might be an area they consider. Especially when you have to take into account that they are playing a lot of strong offenses, particularly when you look at Brock Purdy's San Francisco 49ers, that they want to be able to get at him. If they have a young, hungry defensive tackle who might be able to, I guess, lead the charge a little bit more and put a bit more pressure on offenses, that might be a nice tactical approach for Seattle to take with their first round pick, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if they trade out of this spot.
Kieran, we saw in a prime time slot last year one of the reasons why Mike McDonald got this job. The Ravens did not lose to the Chiefs because of anything the Ravens did on defense. They probably handled Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense pretty much as well as anyone managed to do last year. I can see him building from that side of the ball before he goes anywhere near the other side of the ball. Maybe it's an edge rusher. I know you're a big fan of Jared Verse. If he was available for them, maybe it's a cornerback or maybe elsewhere. What do you reckon?
Well, again, I mean, they're right there in the middle, 9-8 last year, and they're picking 16. They've 7 picks, so it's what are they going to do with that? Their main needs are quarterback, guard. You know, like everybody else, they need O-line help. They re-signed Noah Fant to the offense, re-signed Leonard Williams in front four. Their offense is kind of, man, I mean, you struggle to pick out any superstars in there. I mean, yes, they got DK Metcalf, but who else stands out to you on offense for the Seahawks? Yeah. They need some sort of spark.
And that's I was disappointed in Jackson Smith and Jigba last year. He was the player thought would be one of the most exciting of the offensive picks last year. We saw a few little flashes of what he could do, but nothing like where you thought he might get to.
Highly touted. It took him a long time to adjust to the league. Towards the end, he started to show some flashes. But the offense, that's why I have them picking Brock Bowers from Georgia, tight end. They need a spark. They need somebody who's got, you know, energy. I'm not saying a grunt-like character, but somebody who's, you know, physically imposing and is your de facto strong wide receiver / tight end out there to take the workload off of DK Metcalf. 6'3", 243. All he does is win. I mean, with Georgia, just a phenomenon. They were spraying the ball all over the place. He was picking the ball out of the air for fun. I think he's going to be a huge star of the league. It doesn't look like a football player. If you've seen pictures of him, very unassuming, almost looks like a businessman. But he's going to be a problem for a lot of defenses in the league. I think he's going to be a superstar. I really do. And I see Seattle taking him.
We'll get to him. I think he's a really interesting player as well. I have to say, and I wondered after last year when everybody kind of laughed at the Lions taking Sam Laporta, and that worked out so well for them. Would tight ends get more attention this year? And he seemed to be the prototype of a guy who, like, he was their number one target. Like, as you say, he can do it all. He's essentially a wide receiver in tight ends clothing. And yet, you know, there's probably a lot of teams overlooking him. I think they may come to regret that. If he does fall, I fancy someone else picking up a bargain here. Brian, Seahawks at 16. As the lads have been saying, and, you know, Shane made an important point there, one of the prisms through which you have to view this is your divisional situation. They're in a pretty tough spot, and they're not necessarily going to go in this draft from where they were last year to taking it to the Rams and the 49ers, particularly with the QB situation hanging over them, if not this season, in the next season or two. Geno, fantastic the year before last, not so much last season, and maybe that race is run. But there are other areas that they could tweak to put themselves back closer to the stern competition they have in the West.
Yeah, look, you could argue there's nothing outlandish in his what's standing out as a need. I think they'll give Geno another opportunity and try to get a production season out of him, and that's why I think to go offensive line. There's a lot of reasons why I think this makes sense. Troy Fantanu, is that how we pronounce the surname? Fantanu coming in from Washington. But the new offensive coordinator is from Washington. He was the Washington offensive coordinator. The offensive line coach that's come in, Scott Hove, is also coming in from Washington. So essentially, he's got two guys he's worked for previously, and he's coming into the draft. It just makes so much sense that they would go and draft him. They know the aspects of his game. They know how they can fit him into a system. They're obviously going to be working over the course of the last few months with McDonald and what they want to do from an offensive line standpoint and an offensive scheming standpoint. It just makes so much sense that they can bring in a guy they've been working with over the course of the last few years. I imagine it's an easy transition. So whilst there's other players in play here, I think it's the pick that maybe people will settle on and probably see it as a good pick in the long term, as more so than the slasher pick, but for me, offensive line.
Right, thanks for that, Brian. And that indeed brings us to the end of the first part of this pre-draft preview. All right, let's